Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to WGUM. Just want to let you know that we had a slight problem here in our recording studio, that the computer that we normally use for this broadcast somehow has acquired some malware infection. Well, while we're waiting to get that cleared up, let's just take a moment for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you seeking once again your blessings. If you hear me praying, Lord, it's because I was anxious to get over here to change computers, Lord, and to start this prayer for you and to get this computer thing solved. Lord, we ask that you open the windows of heaven. Yes, we do. We ask that the blessings that you're giving us continuously, that they continue to pour forth. We ask that the messages of love and light that you have given us down through the ages, that you gave us through Jesus Christ, that the blessings and the healings and the joy and happiness that all pervade our lives, that joy and happiness, Lord, even be increased 1,000 times. Lord, we know that the negative power is trying to prevent Pastor Benjamin's message from coming out. But Lord, we will not let that persist. Lord, we will find out exactly what is going on and open our line at the earliest possible moment. Lord, we know that in this time, there are many, many people who are suffering and who cannot know which way to go. And Lord, what they don't know or realize is this is even a greater time to look to you. And Lord, I believe that this is a moment that you allowed to be created so that people could turn again to the source of their healing power. Lord, we thank you, we thank you. We are grateful. We're particularly grateful for having Pastor Benjamin, our dear friend and beloved colleague. And it's a pleasure to serve as her assistant pastor. Thank you, Lord, for that. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for Jesus, and we thank Jesus for his blood, because it is all about the blood that Jesus shed from his body that makes the difference. I know that in Exodus it tells the story about the blood, and Genesis talked to us about Jesus Christ, and I know that there was a plague, that there was many things that came on the earth. And oh my God, I thank you, Jesus. I feel Jesus in this house. I tell you, there is a song that I like to sing every now and again. You don't have to kill the lamb anymore. You don't have to sprinkle blood over your door. Someone has taken the place of the lamb. He is the great I am. I don't have to put blood over my doorpost today. I got the blood of Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Will bad things happen to good people? Yes, it will. Do you know why that is? Because the devil is real. The devil causes things to happen, bad things to happen to good people. The devil causes things to happen to the children of God. Do you know how many saints that have been buried because of this coronavirus? Is God unjust? No, he's not. Is God dead? Hey, my God. Somebody asked, where is God? But God is not dead. He's yet alive. Oh, my God. Yes, saints of God have died because of this coronavirus. But let's just go back and take a look at death. Saints of God have died before the coronavirus. Did you charge God for that? Or did you say, well, we didn't come here to stay? But because it's a coronavirus and many people are dying all at one time, you want to blame God. God is doing this, and God, if God did not have his hand in the midst of this coronavirus, we would all be dead. If the devil had his way. The devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy anybody he can. It makes him no different. He has no respect of person. Whether you live like the devil for the devil, or whether you live like a saint for the Lord, he does not care. He has a resume. He has a job to do, to take out as many people that he can before Jesus come back here. Wake up, church. Wake up. Look up. and see God. Help is on the way. Oh, my God, I love Jesus today. If the coronavirus attack me, I'm in the arms of Jesus. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus because the Lord is my shepherd and I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadows and leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing health and he lets me know, hey, God, because he lives. Hey, God, because my Savior lives. Because he lives today. People of God, get real. That's what God is sending your way. Get real in me. Stop just going to church for form or fashion. Get real. Because when the church God is called, where is your Jesus? He's on the inside of me. Hey, my God, today I am happy in Christ today. Does it bring about a concern, this virus? Does it bring about a fear? Yes, we're human. But just like the angel told Mary, fear not. I bring you good tidings. Good news. I bring you joy. Fear not. I didn't come to harm you. Jesus is saying to his children, fear not. I didn't come to harm you. Look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. No, it's not about Gucci. No, it's not about Dunenberg. No, it's not about Michael Kors, but it's about Jesus. And it's about time, it's high time that we start looking unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Because our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and who made the earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. I came to serve you. Notice that God is not dead. On this Palm Sunday, that God is yet alive. And I want to let you know that God is still in control. Everything is subject to God. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't intend to get out there so soon, but it's all right with me. If I don't say any more, I've already told you what you need to do. But as I sit here and I look back and I wonder how the disciples must have felt on the ship with Jesus. And when the wind of doubt was blowing and when the sea was tossing and it was tempestuous and the disciples had a fear. It's all right to have a fear, but know who is the fear solver. Oh, bless his name. Know that Jesus is on board. Saints of God, children of God, seed of seed, wake up, Jesus. Wake up, Jesus. For thou carest for you. God careth for you. Yeah. He cares about you. And when they woke Jesus up, their question was, Master, careth not that we perish? Are you going to be on board and let us die? With our eyes open. What you gonna do, Jesus? Jesus simply just spoke to the wind and he said, peace, be still. And the wind stopped. And the water calmed itself. Fear rose in the disciples who was with Jesus. Fear has arose in us. who has Jesus on the inside. The disciples had him on the outside. They had him physically that they could look at him. But you are blessed because you got him on the inside of you. How close can you get? Those of you that sit in fear, I question, do you really know him? My grandmother used to sing, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning to you in Radio Land, Blog Talk Radio, whether you're listening live or in the archive. I just rose to tell you that Jesus is alive, and he's with us. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched. He understands every fear that we have. I'm looking at everything I touch. Don't know if I should touch that. Don't know if I should do this. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that God is going to watch over us, but we have to learn how to be obedient. That's one of the problems with us. We feel like we can do anything we're big enough to do. I don't have to listen to anyone. I'm grown. I work. I make my own money. Well, look out. You're yet grown. Can't make any money, though. You're sitting in the house, taking this thing now somewhat serious. When you didn't pay attention to it when it first came about. Oh, yes, I know the scriptures say, hey, it won't come now, you're dwelling, but are you living like that? Are you living like Paul, where the serpent bites you and the poison don't kill you? That's the question. That's not about God. That's about you. Or are you playing with the name of Jesus? Is Jesus only important to you when there's a crisis? Is Jesus only important to you when one of your loved ones is sick? Is Jesus only important to you when it's concerning your four and no more? Is Jesus only important to you then? Is Jesus only important to you when you're dressed up and you're St. John? Is Jesus only important to you when you're wearing Laura Ashley? Is Jesus only important to you? Then Jesus only important to you when your social security can't be found? Is Jesus only important to you when you go to pull money out of your bank and somebody had hacked you and taken every dime you have? Is Jesus your friend then? Or is he your friend when all is well? Is Jesus the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Elder Rob Jefferson, he's bishop now in Bellport, New York. But I first heard that song he sang, whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart. And to because Jesus may come in the morning. And Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So just keep your heart in tune. Be ready when he comes again. No man know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. We don't know if this is the way God designed for me to leave here through the coronavirus. We don't know what the plans are. But if the Lord should take me now, I'm going home, not to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. Uh-oh, no, I'm glad you all can't call me. I don't want to go to heaven. Yes, we sing the song, oh, heaven, heaven is mine. We sing the song, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? But I want to go with Jesus. That's where I want to go. Because the Bible that I read, you read, learn how to read the word, and then you won't be blown away by every little thing that come on the earth. But the scripture said heaven. 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 Google it. Google it. Heaven and earth. Where is it, Google? That it Pastor Benjamin was talking about, where is it, Google, that she was talking about heaven is not going to be here? I think she lost her mind. Google, where is it found in the Bible where it says heaven ain't going to be here, Google? Google, go get it for you quicker than I can. Talk to Google. I wish some of us could learn how to talk to Jesus the way we talk to Google, because Jesus got the answer. Jesus is the answer for this world. Jesus knows who started the coronavirus, and Jesus knows when the coronavirus is going to end. Dr. Fauci might be doing a good job, but he's just a scientist. Whatever the lady name is, Deborah, she's just a scientist. Whatever Chris Cuomo is, he's just a news commentator. Andrew, he's just the governor crying out like Jesus cried out for his people. Father, careth not that they perish. That's what Andrew is doing. I'm glad I'm from New York. That's my home state. We got some caring people in that state that cares about what happened to the just and the unjust. God is not just a selfish God. God cares about every one of us. Even if you don't have the blood of Jesus on the inside of you, God made us all. He said, it is his will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. God don't want any of us to go to hell, but it's of our own choosing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's your lifestyle that gets you into heaven, or your lifestyle will get you into hell. It's just as simple as 1, 2, and then 3. It's all about you. Where are you going to spend eternity? It's your choice. For God I live and for God I die. Paul said, I'll let nothing separate me from God. But are you saying that today? I'll let nothing, no height, no depth. Are you really serious about the Lord? Or is he just a habit? Pastor Charles Quillen said, they go to church on Sunday. They're doing something different on Monday. I wish I had my brother Michael on the line because he could quote it verbatimly. I just grabbed the cat by the tail and run with it. But anyway, it is, as Quillen said, it's just a little habit that they have acquired to go to church on Sunday. Well, look out. The habit has been broken. Where are you now? Is it still Jesus? I used to start on Friday. Dr. Scott would laugh at me. I'd start on Thursday. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to wear to church on Sunday. Sunday not even promised, but I'm making preparations to head to church on Sunday. And I said, Lord, what am I going to wear? Oh, no, I can't wear that. I wore that last month. Can't wear that. Let me see what is in here that I have not worn. It's a fashion show. Come on here. What wig is going to church? Oh, no, no. That wig don't go with that outfit. Lord help me, Jesus. That wig don't go with that outfit. Oh, no, I can't wear them shoes. I had them on 2 weeks ago. Everybody liked them. I can't wear them back. Got to go in here and see if I can't find another pair of shoes. But what am I going to wear? But because of the relationship, even though it's funny, but because of the relationship that I have with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because I have a relationship with them, the Lord will say to me, wear such and such and such and such. And I said, huh? Okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. He may not do that with you. He may not, and that's fine. Wear what you want. But me, because of who I am, it's important to God that I represent him. It's important to God that I represent him. No, I'm not wearing no clothes, showing all the, you know, all this stuff here. No, but it's important that I represent the Christ in me, because I realized I was in Houston, Texas, And I was preaching in Houston, Texas, many years ago. And the Lord told me to wear, he says, wear your black and white Friday. And I said, okay, God. So I wore my black and white outfit. And there was a prophet who came to the same building where I was preaching at, but she was with a pastor in the sanctuary. I had been in the sanctuary all week preaching for a pastor, but that Friday night was already booked to another pastor. This man built a church, and he just rented out his sanctuary. And then he had other rooms that if you needed a room, you could get that. So the pastor who I was there for, she couldn't get that sanctuary for Friday night. Someone else had it. So we had to take one of the other little rooms that he had set up like a little sanctuary. So we were in there preaching. And this prophet came to the service that was being held in the sanctuary. And she said the Lord had spoke to her and said, you're going to see the black and white. And by that, you will know that this woman is going to play a great part in your life. And she said, well, God, do I need to wear the black and white? And she said, God didn't answer her. So she didn't put on black and white. Now, in the meantime, they're in the sanctuary and I'm in this room, but the anointing of God was coming through me so till it disturbed them over in the sanctuary. They said, she said, Lord, we got to hurry up and get out of here because I got to get over there to that room where that woman is with the word of God. Now, she was with a woman who had the word of God, but it wasn't for her. What I was saying in the other room was stirring up her mind. But we dismissed. And they were just coming out, and she said, oh, glory! Woman of God! She had never saw me before. I didn't even have my mouth open. She said, oh, that's the voice that I was hearing. I had my mouth closed. She said, woman of God, it's you! And so I just stood and I looked. She said, it was you who God told me would have on the black and white, and that you and I were to connect. And I just looked at her, and she said, open your mouth, woman of God. And I said, God bless you. She said, yep, you're the one. That's that same voice that was coming through the wall into the sanctuary. And I couldn't sit still because your voice was like fire. I said, okay. And we exchanged numbers. And we became very good friends. And yes, I was a blessing to her. Because everything God told her that would happen for her and to her happened through me. And I knew nothing about it. God didn't share it with me until after everything had happened, even down to the balloons that was in her hotel room and the strawberries and the gifts that was all in her bathroom. We pulled the toilet seat down and put lotions on the toilet seat and stuff behind on the back of, on the sink there, on the counter, the vanity in the bathroom and things in her room, even down to my famous pound cake and my Amish bread was also in the room that God spoke that I knew nothing about, but all those things, strawberries, fruits in the bowl, everything that God spoke to her in a prophecy, God used me to bring it to pass. Even so much so that she would be flown from Houston into Philadelphia Airport, didn't say which airport, but she would be flown back east. And she would even be picked up by a Cadillac. And that happened because the pastor of the church had a Cadillac. And his wife said to him, said, Gerald, it's time for you to go to the airport. And he drove his Cadillac to pick her up. And we were waiting to surprise her at the hotel. And when she unlocked the door, all of these things that God said. So you see, it means something for me to obey, hear your God and obey him. I'm very serious about that. When God speaks a thing, I get upset if you don't follow the instructions. Because you don't know who God has spoken to and tell them to make it happen. So you go off doing what you want to do. Then it doesn't happen. Then you want to call me a lying prophet. The devil is a lie. Check yourself. You're the reason why God couldn't bring it to pass, because you would not obey the voice of God. I'm not fussing. I'm just trying to make a point. So now you see, Dr. Scott, my wig is hanging on the wall today. I even got one in the chair. Oh, bless his name. But my wig is hanging there in my room. I've got so many. That's a shame. I have fun with my wigs. They're hanging all around the wall. Shoes, they made fun of me when I came down from New York. After my mom passed and I moved back here to my house in Delaware, they said, well, you need a U-Haul for your shoes and then one for your wig. That's okay. They're my joy. I have a good time with them. I haven't bought a wig this year. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have so many with the tags on. I don't even know what they are until I go look for them. But it's just a few of them. Maybe about 15 hanging on the wall in the room. But you see, I don't have to go and start, what am I going to wear to church on Sunday? It's not about that now. But what am I wearing in my heart is what's important. I am dressed with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am clothed in his righteousness. I've got the breastplate on. My feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel. I'm in church in a pajama set today. Hallelujah. Anyhow, no wig, no makeup. I'm naked before God. Now, I didn't say I didn't have on any clothes. I just said a pajama set. But I'm naked before God. Not dressed up, not looking good. I've had people to tell me when I saw what you had on, I began to feel something moving. When you walked by me, I got chills. Yeah, that was the anointing. If you got it sometimes, Dr. Scott, you don't even have to open your mouth. Just your very presence in the place make a difference. My father in the gospel had that anointing on him, Dr. Joseph Arnold King, and it leaked over to his daughter in the gospel, Pastor Patricia. I know Geno Jennings. Many of you might watch him. The man is knowledgeable of the scriptures, how to get to them and what to say about them. But I'm sorry, Geno. I am a woman pastor. And if you have a problem with that, you take that up with God. But there are so many men out here that's not doing what the Lord have called them to do. I guess God said, well, I'm going to use her to be one of the rocks that's crying out, because she's going to cry loud and spare not. All God is interested in is that we make it in, that we don't be lost. He didn't want us to be lost. But because we were deceived by the devil and so many of us will not say yes to the Lord and mean it. Oh, you say yes Sunday morning. But Sunday night, you're doing something different. So hell has enlarged herself for you. Hell has enlarged herself for his guests. I don't know what the cubic feet of hell was, but God had to enlarge hell for her guest. But heaven is still the same size with mansions. But heaven and earth will pass away, but the world is Jesus. And God, because the scriptures say in John's gospel, let me see if I can find that right quick. I'm in Matthew's gospel, if God let me get to it. Oh, I do have scriptures for today, but I hear God telling me to read this for you because somebody may not remember or know this, how this goes, you know. In the Bible here, I've got two Bibles on the table today. Couldn't find my New Spirit-filled Bible. Dr. Scott, I don't know where the Bible is. Anyhow, but I've got my New I got to look at the back of them and see which one it is. Anyhow, let's go here. The words are not the same in every Bible nowadays. That's why I like to really teach out of my King James or my new Spirit-filled Bible. But anyhow, we're in John's Gospel, and let me see what this Bible says. New King James Bible Version. And my other Bible sitting here, closed up, says Charles Stanley Life Principle Bible, New American Standard. I got him closed. But I got this one open. Let's go to St. John. I hope I can get back to my other one. St. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, for all of you people that don't think that Jesus was here in the beginning, I just read it for you. St. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. This is your Palm Sunday message. No, you can't go out there today and get any palms. Thank God. Because Jesus is more than just a palm. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. I want to tell you the story, but God has shifted me for a moment. He might let me get back to it. But if not, learn to read these things for yourself. That's how I got as far as I have. I read them for myself. Then I went to church and I listened to the man of God, which was my pastor, Joseph King, who was teaching us as children. He says, children, I'm trying to get these things in you because the old gray-headed man's not going to be with you always, but God will. But if I can get these things in you, they will not depart from you. And he told us, there will be a time when you won't be able to go to church. That's why you need the Word in you, not just on a paper. You need it inside. Oh, at the cross. At the cross, where I first, let me get you in the Easter spirit, saw the light and the burden on my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy. Oh, that's what you wanted to hear? At the cross. Come on, church. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden. I wish my mama was here to play for me. Of my heart. Roll away. It was there. By faith. Come on now. I see my sight, and now I am happy all the day, huh? At the cross, at the cross. But before the cross, before the cross, Jesus was in the beginning. Oh, Lord, I got to get up. Before the cross, Jesus was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Jesus was here in the beginning. My God in heaven. And it wasn't until later, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And after he had created everything, he said to his son, I just told you, in the beginning, Jesus was with his father. He said to his son, I've gone from John back to Genesis. Both of them say in the beginning. I have read the Bible, but I only see it this scriptures here. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. John, Gospel St. John said, in the beginning was the Word. The two beginnings is talking about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Genesis beginning. God says to His Son, Jesus. He didn't call His name. He just said, let us make man. Do you think He was talking to the S-U-N? No, He was talking to the S-O-N. My God, today, let us make man. Let us make man. That's what God said to Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Him and His Son, Jesus, were together. Yeah. And the Word goes on to tell us in the beginning. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. My God, today, I just taught you something that you didn't know. You trying to have a Palm Sunday and don't even have Jesus. What's wrong with you? You trying to dress up, get your chocolate Cadbury bunnies and His eggs, and you don't have Jesus. Shame on you. You have a follow-up, but you don't have the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. The real thing will keep Jesus in your heart. The real thing is Jesus. It's not a building. I don't usually get out of here like this. The real thing is Jesus. If they close all the church doors for the rest of the year, it's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Timothy Wright rest in His grave, but he said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, it is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm not singing the whole song. I'm just getting and missing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But then he said, Savior, Savior, Savior. Yes. Savior, Savior, Savior. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's who He is. They laid the palm branches. When Jesus, the story is in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Read it for yourself. I may not get to it because I'm out here. I'm walking back and forth from my kitchen to my living room. When I start that walking, God is moving by His power. God is moving, and I'm moving in the Spirit. I'm walking back and forth, and I'm telling what God is saying for me to say. I'm starting to walk back and forth. I can't keep still. I can't sit at the table any longer. But I tell you, when one of the pastors, she said, when you see evangelist at that time. She said, when you see evangelist Pat start to walk back and forth, you better reach out and touch God, because whatever you need, when she starts walking back and forth, God is moving, and He's moving with her. And just reach your hand out in the aisle when you see her walking back and forth and get what you need from God. I'm saying to you in Radio Land today, God says, I'm giving you what you need. Just reach out and get what I'm releasing. Oh, bless His name. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God, I thank you. God, I used to preach like this 30 years ago, but God, I thank you for moving on the inside. I like to preach the Word, but today an organ backing me up. That's done without the keyboard. That's done without the saxophone or the guitar. Yes, a lot of people preach with the music. And that get the people emotional. That get them all excited. Lord, the preacher will. Lord, listening. And that's fine. I like it. But you ought to be able to get emotional over the word of God if the organ ain't present, if the piano ain't present, if the drum's not going, if the guitar's not being played, if the saxophone is not being tooted. You need to get excited about Jesus. Woo! I believe I'm going to have church on Wednesday night. I'm going to invite everybody to tune in and listen to this sermon today. I'm going to open up the prayer line. And we're going to be home for 2 hours. I'm inviting everybody to listen at to serve the Lord. But you can read in Matthew's gospel. On the 21st chapter. Let me see if I can get there quickly, Dr. Scott, and then I'm going to close. The blood that Jesus shed for me. But John's gospel said, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I just finished the second verse. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. I'm going to stop there because I'm trying to get to Matthew. But all I'm trying to tell you is read the word of God. When the church doors is closed, we still have Jesus. Put your Louis Vuitton up. You'll wear it again. If you want to get dressed up, I think when I go up there, I might just go in the room and get one of my wigs. I was looking at the blue one earlier today. I might just put on my blue wig, sit around here and look out the window and tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. My God. Let's read quickly. Matthew 21. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. See, Jesus didn't leave out the women. I don't know why you all are trying to, because it said here that you will find a donkey tied and a coat with her. So the donkey had to be a girl. I think that's what an H-E-R is. A her is a girl. Is that right? Okay. So the donkey she had tied with her a coat. God uses, let me put it like this, females. Okay. He depends on, oh, Lord, that's another sermon. He depends on the females to carry him. I don't know where the males were. I got nothing to do with that. But the females is standing waiting. Lord, thank you. That's another sermon, not today. The females were standing waiting to be used by God. So Geno Jennings If you don't like female preachers and all the rest of you males that don't like female preachers, we're waiting for the Lord to use us. We're not too high and mighty. We're not. We're humble. We don't mind if Jesus send us to get the job done. We go and we don't grumble. We tell God, thank you. Lord, I need to stop. Anyhow, let's go on. Let's go on and bring them to me. Go get Patty. Bring her to me. I got need of her. Go get her. Bring her to me. I got need of her. I have something I have to do. And I need her. I need her. I need her. Hey, hallelujah. She'll be humble. She won't kick against the prick. She won't fight back. Ooh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, God, I thank you. Ooh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Bring her to me. Bring her. Bring her. And if anyone say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. So where is she going? Who does she think she is? Why is she going up there? The Lord has need of me. Oh, bless his name. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of the donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sit as he did, sit him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the tree and spread them on the road. This is where your Palm Sunday's coming from. This is the palms that was laid down for Jesus' coat to walk upon. This is so important that you know what you're celebrating and how it came about. But even though that was beautiful, but it's beautiful and yet it's sad, because this, could you imagine knowing, look at these people with this coronavirus, knowing that they're getting ready to die and how they're handling it. Jesus didn't back off his death. He knew that he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to go through Jerusalem on his way to his death. And he didn't have a fear. Many of you don't know the story. You know the glamour, but you don't know the story. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Hosanna. The word Hosanna means our Savior. Our Savior. Our Rescuer. Jesus is our rescue. Jesus is my help. Somebody sang that? Tell you that my help cometh. is coming from the Lord. Jesus is my help, my help. That's what Hosanna was saying. My help is here. My help is coming. My help, Jesus, is here. He's our Savior. For tell us in the Christmas story, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hosanna, my help is here. Hosanna, people of God, you can say Hosanna, my Savior is here. My rescue is here. Jesus is alive forever. More Palm Sunday commemorates the entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem. But there was a few saints there that knew the real meaning of Palm Sunday. And the true meaning of Palm Sunday represents my help is here. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. I'll be back next Sunday with that great Easter story, if God allows. Tune in on Wednesday at 7 p.m. to hear this service again, and we will open up the mic. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor, for a very inspiring and uplifting message. And we can't wait until Sunday. Well, I guess we have to wait. Until Sunday to hear part two of this stirring, stirring message. And for listeners, those of you who are going to the archives, the number for you to call to be on our program, both on Sunday at 10 o'clock and also Wednesday evening at, Pastor, let me back up here and open the pastor's line. My recollection is, Pastor, what time is it on the Wednesday?
7 p.m.
Thank you, 7 p.m. So it's 7 p.m. The number to call in is 347-945-675. 347-945-6785. I want you to know the pastor asked me yesterday evening to look up a song that she really loves. And I want you to know that I found the song, and it took me 2 hours, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, to finally get the song into our list of songs that we can hear. So I give you, without any introduction, Donnie McKerkin, Living Because He Loved Me. Glorious day.
That's the life. Dying, he saved me. That's the death. Buried, he carried my sins far away. But he didn't stop there rising. He justified. Yeah. Oh, y'all don't know this. Glorious day. Well, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Dying, he came my sin far away. But then rising, he justified. Him.